This is Monsterland, Ohio Radio, Episode 1, Introductions. Hi, I'm Andy Matsky.
And I'm Mark Matsky. This is the first podcast for the website monsterlandohio.blogspot.com. The blog has been around since 2009, and this is our first venture into podcasting, and we're glad that you're listening.
I just realized something since you said the 09, that this is, we've been around 5 years, not to the date or anything, but I literally just realized that.
Yeah, that's right. It coincides with our first visit to G-Fest. Kenji Sahara was the guest of honor that year.
That was crazy.
Yeah, and even while I was there, I was starting to think, how can I get involved in the fandom in a way that reflects me and my abilities? And writing was the way that I knew that I could contribute. And so I started the blog, and I also submitted my first articles to G-Fan magazine. And the rest, as they say, is history.
And what was the original name again for the blog?
Oh, this is the ultimate trivia question about the blog. I originally titled it Moonlight SY3. I almost said XY3, but it's Moonlight SY3. And Andy, I believe, is all over that reference. What is that a reference to?
It was the ship from Destroy All Monsters. That was one of the original Godzilla movies, had all the monsters fighting each other. In a nutshell, until it got to the final battle, which was against King Ghidorah. And was that King Ghidorah's first appearance?
No. Ghidra the Three-Headed Monster was his first appearance.
I don't know that much about Godzilla.
Oh, come on now.
I don't know stuff like that, I have to admit.
Yes, but for the average North American 11-year-old...
I do know a lot.
You are, yes, hands down, you've got that covered. So, I changed it from Moonlight SY3, and that was actually the title of the blog for about a day. And then I reconsidered it, wanted it to be something a little more general and not quite so geeky, knowledge-y type thing. So that I think that was a good decision.
Yeah, I think you came home at lunch that day saying, oh, we're going to do a blog. Yeah, and then it was either the next day at lunch or that night at dinner once you came back from work again, it was, oh, I've changed the name of the blog just so it's not so much of a background trivia thing to Monsterland, Ohio, or, yeah, it was Monsterland, Ohio back then.
Yeah, that was the second choice. That's what it's stayed ever since. Mm-hmm. That's been a lot of fun doing the blog, I have to say. Things have happened because the blog was there that wouldn't have happened otherwise. One huge example of that would be that our friend Don Theobald of the Cuyahoga Kaiju Club contacted me because he had seen the blog online and invited us to come and meet everybody at CKC headquarters at an undisclosable location.
For reasons of security and therefore insecurity, this is Monsterland, Ohio Radio.
Yep, and a little shout out to John B. Wells there for those really in the know.
I am John B. Wells.
Out of the light of the deep strange. No, okay.
We also like Bigfoot too, so.
Yes, we do. We do, and we'll be talking about that as well. But back to CKC for a second. Because of the blog, not only have we gotten to know people like Don Theobald and Tom Tvardik, they become our friends. And I can honestly say none of that would have happened were it not for the existence of the blog and people checking it out. Also, I wrote a review of a G-Fan issue that had an article about the movie Half Human in it. And one day I was checking to see if anybody left any comments, and lo and behold, none other than Lauren Coleman had left a comment on there about how foundational of a movie that was for him. So that was really a special time. So Monsterland, Ohio is just a dad and his son having giant monster fun, but it's led to some really cool things in our life.
Let's talk about mainly you. I don't check these type of things. Like the people that have checked, well, not the people, but from the places people have checked the blog from.
Sure. All over the world, essentially.
We've had Finland, haven't we?
Yes, everything from Finland, Pakistan, India, we've had Korea, North, no, I don't know about North. That might not be allowed. But definitely South Korea. And we get a lot of action from Japan, which is particularly gratifying to me to know that there's folks who, you know, in the land where most of these movies were created that we love so much, you know, we're showing up in their search engines and images and things, and people are checking out some of the articles that I've written that have appeared in issues of fanzines that have gone out of print. So once that happens, then I put the articles on Monsterland, Ohio, so that other people can read them.
And the really fun thing about that, that's kind of really interesting about that, that we've had just a few people, is that a not really well-known fact is that Japanese people don't really care about Godzilla nowadays. Which is really interesting to me, but...
Yeah, it'll be really intriguing to see if the new film sparks some interest. The Gareth Edwards Legendary Godzilla opened just this past weekend, and it was the number one movie in Japan, which I hope bodes well for sparking a renewed interest in Godzilla. But you're right. All that we've heard is that Godzilla seems to really take a back seat now culturally to Ultraman and all the Ultra series that have been prominent on Japanese television for decades.
Mm-hmm. And that's really fun for me to know that he's the number one pop culture icon in Japan, because I love him too.
Yes, we both do.
We both do.
Ultraman is way up there and down in the Monster Island vaults. There is an assemblage of ultras like you perhaps have never seen before, but that's a subject for another show.
Yeah.
Let's move on, Andy. And I believe that every time we have a podcast, you're going to be talking a little bit about pop culture and what interests you.
And rumors and stuff like that and stuff I've seen. Okay, the number one thing is the Godzilla sequel I need to talk about. That was the Comic-Con trailer that has not been released publicly yet, which I'm fine with. It's a Comic-Con trailer. I don't think we're ever going to see that. But the really cool thing about that for fans is that we're going to get other Toho monsters. Personally, I'm not a huge fan about that idea. I'd love to see more Muto-type creatures. But I'm really excited to see what they do with Rodan. And King Ghidorah is my favorite that I'm going to hopefully see.
I was amazed when they made the announcement. It's not what I was expecting at all. And once again, fan reaction is divided. Looking on Facebook, for example, I see it. This announcement is about 75% positive, 25% sort of eh about the whole thing. Not really that excited about it.
I'm excited about it.
Yeah, I am excited about it, too. I think it's really neat. I think maybe it should have been what movie one was.
Yeah.
To really spark interest. But, you know, it's neither here nor there at this point. I can't wait for it, and I'm afraid it's going to be a while. Wait. White whale.
And
I'm Captain Ahab.
And the really fun thing about that is there's so much groundswell on Facebook. Legendary went out and released that they were doing a Godzilla 2. It wasn't going to be Comic-Con hush-hush. It was released. It was, I think the exact post was, Godzilla's not alone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really exciting. And do we want to dwell on this or go to the next pop culture subject?
We can move on, I think. Okay. We're excited. It sounds like, well, we talked earlier, I mentioned Ghidra the Three-Headed Monster. You've got all the monsters that were in
Ghidra. That's the really cool thing.
In the new one. So will it be a remake? Probably not, but
I hope not, because the same team idea, that you've got. Because it's really in the modern world, and I really hope they don't, so to speak, mess that up. I don't think they will.
No, I doubt it. I doubt it.
And the next thing I want to talk about, which was from my every once in a while scanning of Google Images, I found the Lego Smaug set. That was cool. It's amazing. There's going to be a Lego Smaug officially released. Personally, it's not what I hoped it would be, but it's much better than what we could have gotten. I think it was released at Comic-Con. It's gonna be part of the Erebor underneath. Includes Smaug, and I want to say Bilbo, Thorin, and maybe one or two others.
About how many pieces would you say this is going to be? Any guesses?
Upwards of 400.
Okay.
Which really isn't a lot.
Not really,
but probably more than 500, because you have to keep in mind one of those $20 sets, it has like 200-some pieces.
Right.
That's from studs to whatever.
All right.
That's probably what's going to get me back into Legos. I've been away from it. Okay, next on our schedule, if you want to go there, because I forgot. Age of Ultron-ness. We got a big poster which reveals Ultron officially. That's the movie that's really going to get me back into Lego if they do Lego themes for it, which I'm almost 2,000% sure is going to... I completely messed up my line. That's almost 80% sure is going to happen, because I watched a Lego documentary called Inside Lego, and if you have Netflix, even though it's only 20 minutes or 25 minutes, I highly recommend seeing it. And the reason I believe that they're going to do that is because on that they go, we can't go in here, they're painting faces for a new line in 2015. I don't know much that's coming out in 2015, but because I don't pay attention to that kind of stuff, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be Age of Ultron. And that's really cool. And it's what I suspected it would be, which is kind of, it's going to be old Jarvis, so to speak, software that goes wrong.
All right. Very good.
Ultron.
Okay, moving on. We're going to talk about, real quick, our reactions to some of the fan conventions we went to this summer. Of course, G-Fest was a big part of our summer. It's something we look forward to every year. But this year, we went to Monster Bash for the very first time. In Cranberry Township / Mars, Pennsylvania, outside of Pittsburgh. So we're just going to give you some real sort of capsule reviews of those particular conventions. So what do you want to start with, Andy?
Let's actually start with Monster Bash, even though on our schedule it's G-Fest first, because it's chronologically first.
Sure.
That was blew me away. I was really... Well, it's one of those things, I always think of stuff which they're not. This really kind of blew me away. It was kind of smaller, so to speak, than I thought it would be. Like, the hotel, I thought it would be more if you've been to, like, a G-Fest hotel. Which it wasn't, which is fine. But it was really cool. One of the parts I really enjoyed was meeting Joel Hodgson. I said his right name, not Joel Robinson. And another, which was a reason I wouldn't have went, which was meeting Julie Adams / Julia, which was amazing.
It was amazing. And she still is stunning.
Yeah.
She is. And she's very, very kind. She goes out of her way to make sure that
everyone has a good time.
Right. And you get the signature that you want, and she'll take a picture with you. It was just really neat. And I got her book, which I'm planning on reading and probably reviewing for one of my fanzines. A little hint there to the publisher of Mad Scientist magazine. You might see that coming your way sometime. Yeah. So yeah, I would say also my expectations were exceeded as far as Monster Bash goes.
Another fun thing was meeting Rico, even though I just interrupted you. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Rico Browning, man in the suit from Creature from the Black Lagoon. Sadly, we learned Ben Chapman, who did the on land scenes, has passed away, and evidently he and Julie Adams had become pretty close from running into each other at these fan conventions like Monster Bash. But it was cool to see the two of them relatively close to each other, and they had a life-size Gilman, beautiful model, standing behind where Julie was. The picture that you could take was with the creature standing behind with his arms extended, and then you and Julie Adams. It was really cool.
Yeah. And I think even though it was by... This is just a fun note that I pay attention to things. Even though it was technically by Julie, it was Rico's along with his thing, but I'm glad he let you come over. Rico was fun. He wasn't really excited. You could tell he was a well-worked man in his...
Yes, yes.
Because he was just sitting there, he's like, oh, Andy, okay. Okay.
Yeah, but he's a great guy.
He seems really good.
Yeah, and the opportunity to meet Joel Hodgson of Mystery Science Theater 3000 and Cinematic Titanic and other projects. Again, that was probably a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, I'm going to say.
I hope it's not.
Yeah.
Tell me something good.
Yes, yes. Don't spill the secrets, though.
Okay.
but he did his Riffing Myself presentation, which he's done in other places. And it is a fascinating, fascinating glimpse into the creative process that resulted in MST3K. And I'm not going to say any more about that right now because that's probably material for
and
a later
time. Another thing
later
to say
time.
About that is I felt like we were at the Toronto Film Festival because we saw part of probably an hour, I think they said, of a two-hour documentary, Return to Eden Prairie. I really felt like I was at a professional thing because I'm watching this that no one else had seen before, and it was amazing. So let's move on to G-Fest and do it really quick because
okay.
We can spend hours talking about yep. G-Fest.
Yeah. Okay, well, this year's G-Fest was G-Fest number 21, and among many highlights, I think clearly the great highlight of all of them was the Akira Ifukube 100 concert, another once-in-a-lifetime opportunity where the maestro's music was played by a live orchestra for the first time in North America at the mighty Pickwick Theater in Park Ridge, Illinois.
That was amazing. This to hear that, and that was just like a wow experience. It was just amazing. And it wasn't like you'd never heard them before, but just to see them make the music was amazing for me.
I heard a number of people say that it made the music come alive in a new way. It was dynamic, and the feeling of it was overpowering. I think a lot of people who this music means so much to them really were emotionally moved by this experience, and I'm very glad that we were there. Overjoyed, actually, that we had that opportunity.
That was amazing.
Yes, there were many other highlights about G-Fest this year as well. The special guests were the leads for Terror of Mechagodzilla and were very kind and nice to be around. And once again, I was responsible for the Kids Thread programming, also known as G-Fest Junior. And we had a lot of fun down there. We had some professional artists like Tom Tavardik, who I mentioned before, doing How to Draw Godzilla. We had just fans who like to build costumes. Shout out to Allison and Danielle Fay for their participation in the G-Fest Kids Club. And there was just a lot of fun stuff, especially my opportunity to do a little presentation and a quiz show at the end with lots of prizes and giveaways for the kids who were there. So that's always very gratifying for me.
And the really fun thing about that is one of the guests, Hiroshi Sagai, came down. I think he's just really walking around. But he came down and came in. No, I don't think except me and you really noticed him. But he came down and looked and took a few pictures. And that was really kind of like a wow moment.
Yeah, it was. Hiroshi Sagai, for those of you who don't know, is a sculptor. And he's done sculpts for a number of Godzilla movies and tokusatsu movies and TV shows. By the way, if you don't know tokusatsu, that is Japanese for special effects. And you can use that for any film, really, that has Japanese special effects in them. In particular, though, we're talking about special effects as in building miniature cities and actual sculpted creature suits and sort of the old school special effects. Suitmation, exactly right. And Hiroshi Sagai has done that. And he is, when he's there, it's like he is the ultimate fan plus the ultimate presenter, all wrapped up in one person. It's amazing.
The thing I really noticed about him is he wasn't really, well, of course he wasn't like the number one thing there, but he really was a fan.
He really is, yeah. I bet he takes 3,000 or 4,000 pictures while he's there because he's constantly taking a picture of cool models that he sees, or people, or just everything. He's so into it. It's so fun to see. And he's already declared on Facebook that he's going to be back next year. So we might be cooking up a little something to give him in return, because he's always giving out gifts. It's really a cool sort of custom that he's come up with, that he passes out pins and badges that he's made. And he tell about what he did on Sunday night.
The fan?
The fan.
He, earlier, because 2 years ago was it, we took him around along with other special guests and we went to the Field Museum. Well, I think he remembered us, so he gave us these pins that were really nice. And we got the sculpted versions that he gave out 2 years before. But that was cool. And then it was Sunday night, and he had a bag almost constantly, too. So he just weighed on his shoulder constantly. And he would always give people buttons like we got and all stuff like that. And then on Sunday night, when it's the big party type...
The Dead Dogzilla party.
He took out the fan. It was like a sticker and like a black fan that he took like the pin of. And then I think he wrote his autograph, and then he started drawing something. I couldn't tell what it was till about 3/4 of the way through, but it was a Godzilla. And then he signed his name, signed it, and it was just amazing opportunity.
All right, well, last but not least, we are going to let you know that just about every time we record, we're going to talk about a Mystery Science Theater 3000 episode. We are pretty big fans, I would say, and have seen a lot of the episodes. And we're going to just pick out some of our favorites and talk about favorite host segments, favorite riffs, any trivia that we can think up about the movies themselves that are being shown. Because one of the results of the success of Mystery Science Theater is that it's revived some of these movies that really were pretty bad and awful, and no one would really have truly liked them except when they were brought to the forefront thanks to Mystery Science Theater. And I'm looking at you, Manos, and Hobgoblins, and other ones like that. That's one of the effects of MST3K. So if we can dredge up any really interesting trivia about some of those old cheesy movies, we're going to do that.
Should we talk about the one we recently saw?
Sure.
Because that is a future. The most recent one we saw was Red Zone Cuba. Very interesting movie. And that stars, who does it star? Who is that guy?
I don't remember. No. Coleman Francis.
It stars Coleman Francis, the legendary Coleman Francis. I'm completely making that up. Who did, The Beast of Yucca Flats and did these weird camera angles. But he was a director and had, in the Beast of Yucca Flats, I think he had, 6 cameos. And that was just cool. And interestingly, he stars that has some great riffs in it.
Well, he bears an unfortunate resemblance to Curly from the Three Stooges.
Yes, he does.
Which they use quite a bit. good stuff. So expect some... every time we get together, we're probably going to be mentioning The Satellite of Love in one way or another.
That movie's awesome. Red Zone Cuba. I'm completely making that up. That has a very slightly good plot if you could follow it.
It has a plot?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, it doesn't at all. At all.
Oh, boy. Well, thanks for spending some time with us. I think we're going to wrap things up here. Yes. We've made enough introductions, probably more than enough introduction than you would like. But thanks for listening. Check us out at monsterlandohio.blogspot.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Reverend Matzke, M-A-T-Z as in zoo, K-E.
K's and cockadoo and
O's and... Oh my goodness. It's good you can edit this stuff, you know? But anyway, keep circulating the tapes.
Da, da, da.
May all your days be bright. And don't eat the clues. Peace out.